This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Blood Health Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Joining us on today's show is Dr. Pushpai Larson. She is a naturopathic doctor and an expert on blood viscosity. Dr. Larson recently wrote an article titled Monitoring Blood Viscosity to Improve Cognitive Function, which appears in the fall issue of Vital News for Washington's NDs, a publication of the Washington Association of Naturopathic Physicians. Dr. Pushpai, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It is, definitely. We're glad you came out today, took a moment. Now, how does blood viscosity testing help patients prevent strokes or heart attacks?
Well, blood viscosity, many people know there are many different risk factors that are associated with heart attacks and strokes. The one that most people are commonly familiar with is cholesterol. But there are many other things, obesity, smoking, many different risk factors associated with blood viscosity, with cardiovascular disease. Blood viscosity happens to be correlated with every single one of those risk factors. And in fact, it's a better predictor of heart attacks and strokes than many of the other risk factors. For example, 75% of people who are admitted to the hospital every year for cardiovascular disease have normal cholesterol. So that being the case, cholesterol is not necessarily the best predictor of whether or not you're going to have cardiovascular disease. But blood viscosity is an excellent predictor. So that's why we think people should be having their blood viscosity tested.
So are there other conditions affected by blood viscosity?
Yeah, there are. I think probably one of the most important ones is cognitive function, as I wrote about in that article. Blood viscosity has to do with how easily your blood flows, and how easily your blood flows has to do with how much blood gets to the tissues in your body. And obviously the brain is a place where you want to have good blood flow and good perfusion of oxygen to the tissues. And blood viscosity has a big impact on that. So cognitive function is very much impacted by blood viscosity. Similarly, in diabetes, people who are more likely to develop the more dire consequences of diabetes, such as macular degeneration, so blindness, ulcerations of the fingers and toes that can lead to amputations, those kinds of things, that's all very highly correlated to high blood viscosity. And there are other conditions also, as well as being a number of other things that affect blood viscosity.
Well, how often should a person get his or her blood viscosity tested?
Well, I would say, it's a good kind of basic screening test to do once a year for an adult, who is healthy. Just like you would go in for your normal physical, you would have your blood pressure checked, you would, look at, do a general comprehensive blood work just to make sure things are going well. I would do blood viscosity at the same time. That's if you don't have any particular risk factors, you're not facing anything. If you're having problems, you may want to monitor it more frequently. If you discover a problem with your initial screening, you may want to monitor it more frequently to see how treatment is progressing.
Today we are joined by Dr. Pushpai Larson. She is a naturopathic doctor and an expert on blood viscosity. She's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Blood Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. How long does the test take, and how long does it take to get the results back?
Well, it only takes as long as it takes to draw a few tubes of blood in your doctor's office or in your lab. So that doesn't take very long at all from the patient's point of view. Results are usually returned within a week. It's a time-sensitive test. We need to receive the results within 4 days of the blood being drawn. Otherwise, it's not good. So given that we have to receive it very quickly, we turn it around very quickly.
Now, I'm sure the listener may be asking the question to themselves, isn't it enough for them to get, or for me to get my blood pressure and cholesterol checked, and why do I also need the blood viscosity test?
Yeah, that's a good question. And as I said before, you know, 75% of people who are admitted to the hospital every year for cardiovascular disease have normal cholesterol. And as a matter of fact, half of the people who die of heart attacks every year have normal cholesterol levels. So there's obviously something else at play here besides cholesterol. So just looking at cholesterol, looking at blood pressure, certainly blood pressure is important. Blood pressure is, people who have higher blood pressure tend to have higher blood viscosity also. That's one of the risk factors that's correlated with it. But, you know, coronary artery disease kills 4,000 people every day. And, you know, that equates to like 2 people dying of cardiovascular disease every minute. There's a lot of people dying of heart disease. It's still the number one killer in our country. It's still the number one killer of women who tend to be more fearful about breast cancer but are more likely to die of heart disease.
What is the research that backs up blood viscosity monitoring and testing?
Oh, there is a huge body of research. There are over 10,000 articles published. And if you go onto PubMed, you'll see thousands and thousands of articles if you put in the words blood viscosity. But it's been being researched for, I think, 40-plus years. So there's a very well-established literature about it. There hasn't been a lot of good clinical a way to test it in clinical practice. There's a good ways to test it in research, but not, there hasn't been a good way of testing blood viscosity in clinical practice until recently. Like I said, there are over 10,000 publications, and it looks at blood viscosity in relationship to all different kinds of things, certainly with all the risk factors I talked about, with stroke, with cognitive function. It looks at blood viscosity, for example, in women who are pregnant and women who develop preeclampsia or have intrauterine growth retardation where the baby's not growing as well as it should be. Those are women who have higher blood viscosity. So blood viscosity actually has an application across the lifespan, not just in older adults, which is where we tend to think of it in terms of cardiovascular disease. But in maternity care also.
Tell us where our listeners can get more information and also to be in contact with you online in regards to blood viscosity.
Sure. Meridian Valley Lab, that's where I work. Our website is www.meridianvalleylab.com. That's MeridianValleyLab.com. It's all one word. And there's more information there on blood viscosity. We also have a patient brochure that that is available that we could send out to people. You can reach us at, toll-free number is 855-405-TEST or 8378.
Very good. Good information. And in conclusion, what one thing could you leave with our listeners in form of a tip in conclusion in regards covering blood viscosity?
Well, I would say, obviously, getting your blood viscosity tested is important, but there are things that you can do to improve your blood viscosity. One of the most important things you can do is to stay well hydrated and drink plenty of water. And especially if you drink coffee, you need to drink more water because coffee is actually dehydrating. And then the other thing you can do, which has benefits beyond just your personal benefit, is to donate blood, because donating blood is one of the best ways to decrease blood viscosity.
We've been speaking with Dr. Pushpa Larson. She is a naturopathic doctor and an expert on blood viscosity. Dr. Larson, as we mentioned before, recently wrote an article titled Monitoring Blood Viscosity to Improve Cognitive Function, which appears in the fall issue of Vital News for Washington NDs, a publication of the Washington Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And the website of reference, once again, for more information on blood viscosity is MeridianValleyLab.com. Dr. Pushpa, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed being here.
We certainly did enjoy having you as well. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Blood Health Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.